I know, you thought it was never going to arrive. Still, it has, and we continue to celebrate that goodness. Peru, one of our team has actually been in Peru. Is it you, William Coles?
Yes, I have been to Peru.
You have been, but how long ago were you in Peru? How long ago has it been since you were in Peru?
20 years ago. I was there in 97.
20 years ago.
That's when I was born.
The year that Holly McGrattan was born, and now Holly has also been to Peru. So pray tell Holly, what were you doing in Peru this year?
I went out with some course peers on my media production course, and it was about 10 of us. We went. We worked at a school in a town called Urubamba. I don't know if that rings any bells. Which is near Cusco, that might ring a bell. And for 3.5 weeks, we work with them. We brought a lot of technology equipment out, so cameras and plasticine and video cameras. And we created little projects with them. So I was on the animation, and they all wrote stories for a little animation, and we all made it out of plasticine, and it was really, really good.
And where, pray tell, Holly, can people actually see these animations on on the internet?
Yeah, actually, I've just uploaded the beautiful final pieces on YouTube, so I could give them to you. Mm-hmm. I can send to you, and then
we can celebrate. We can even get Phil Leonis to do a critique of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Be wonderful, and indeed William as well. And Katie, have you been to Peru?
I've never been to Peru. It sounds amazing, especially if there's animation there too. So yeah.
Is Paddington from Peru? Paddington,
he is deepest darkest.
Yes,
yeah.
Deepest darkest. I thought so. Yeah. Were there marmalade sandwiches on offer?
No, there wasn't. But maybe it wasn't the right season. I don't know.
Did you get marmalade sandwiches with him, or was this just a line of investigation? Which we were wondering where we're going with this one, really.
I am slightly wondering where you're going with
that. I could sense that. I could sense that whole thing coming across. It's okay. Share with us, William, what's life like in Edinburgh this fine day, literally the last Wednesday before a new academic year starts in force, and at the University of Lincoln, a whole range of new folk will be entering the doors. And
hello.
And as Holly's just said, it makes you a third year, Holly.
Yeah, I just had the confusion where I realised.
Second, third. Yeah, it's very, very strange. So what's the sort of buzzword from, of course, Scotland, which actually Edinburgh University probably hasn't started. Doesn't start until October, I believe, or has it already kicked off?
No, it's already kicked off. I've got a mate who's just starting at Bristol, and she's already started on the Freshers Week this week. And in order to welcome all these freshers, we've got a bit of Storm Eileen, and it is pouring with rain, and they will get used to it for the next 4 years.
Mm. Is it Eileen or is it Aileen? I'm very confused. I'd always thought it was Aileen, actually, but then again, William is a Scottish person, so he's living up there, he could connect to you.
But what about the song, Come On Eileen?
Yes, that's E-I.
All right, okay.
Dexy's Midnight Runners, when they actually did have that particular number, were quite clear in terms of it's Eileen. Anyway, we're not going into a pedantry side of things here. Anything else happening from the Scotland land that you're based in?
Yes, there is. Our car finally died a month ago.
No.
And my wife has been geezering over what to buy, and she wanted one of these huge Volvos in order to take the children around. And then she got fricked. She heard the Scottish government talking about all these swinging taxes they were bringing in for diesel cars and big cars generally, and tax in the cities and all this sort of stuff. So instead of getting a huge car, we've got about the smallest car you can possibly buy, a Cinquecento two-door. With a soft top, and my younger son likes to stand at the back like Mussolini taking the salute.
You see, I would have thought that would have worked a lot more if you'd actually had a smart car, because that's even smaller than a Cinquecento. You see, I can't even say the scenario from that perspective. Still, as long as we go. Katie, you were, of course, taking driving sessions over the summer period. How are they going, or do we not ask us?
No, it's okay. I've been taking driving lessons for gosh, about a year now.
Excellent.
And they're still going.
Yes, that's fine.
And it's slow progress, but it's progress, and I'm enjoying it, and that's the important thing.
It's mirror signal manoeuvre. That's the official line. That's the mirror signal manoeuvre. Clutch control, of course.
And keep breathing. That's the other bit of advice.
Always important. Parallel parking is the thing never
I quite really. Like the manoeuvres.
You like parallel parking.
I'm a dressage girl, so I kind of imagine it as being like car dressage.
Of course, horsepower. Absolutely. Different kind of horsepower. Very good. Anyway, so it goes. Holly, have you got any questions you want to put to William about life, the universe, and indeed, you know, writing stuff? And why, tragically, we're not going to be seeing William Coles at the Gothic Literary event that's coming up in a matter of weeks from now. In fact, 2 weeks from now, in fact, next week, we might be dealing with various foci. I'll focus on the actual Gothic Literary Festival.
Oh, I've just found out about this festival, and I think I'm going to go. Do you know anything about it?
No, William won't know anything about it. It's in Edinburgh. I'm kind of making a presupposition there about the whole line of things.
You're spot on. I haven't heard of it, no.
What kind of book festivals do Edinburgh have? I'm sure they have a good...
So you've got quite a... they've got quite a big one during their main festival in August, and the Great and the Good come up to tout their wares, and a mate of mine turned up. He's pretty big cheese. He's not chopped liver. This is Robert Twigger. He turned up, and huge theatre, about 250 seats, 20 people turned up for his gig, and he was doing it with another guy too. Yeah.
Clearly, Robert should have done another session with us at the Midweek Drive. We could have added at least one person onto that sort of range of things there. So we'll have to sort that whole thing through. It's Twigger, he's got his liver. You know, there's a strap line you can actually have there, you know. So, Lincoln Book Festival, history at its heart, Monday the 25th of September to Saturday the 30th of September. It connects audiences of all ages and interests with some of the UK's best-loved historians. We've got David Starkey coming on board from the University of Lincoln. We've got the wonderful Scott Brewster, amongst others, who are taking part and a whole range of things, and we'll be speaking to several of those authors as the thing proceeds. You can actually go online to lincolnbookfestival.org and find out all of the details. And if you want to be more spoilt for choice, on the 29th of September, it's Lincoln Lights, a Europe-wide festival of getting hold of technology and science. That's going to be an all-day event at the University of Lincoln, and it's going to be splendid. There is some chap who actually hosts a Midweek Drive programme who's actually doing a double session on science fiction and how science fiction influences hard science to develop various other bits and pieces as well. So
sounds good.
I'll just roll that out there. It's online things. Anyway, self-publicity sometimes. You just have to work it up from that perspective. What does the rest of the evening have in store for your good self, William? Will you be listening to the Midweek Drive as we go to Austria to speak to Lisa Maria Schwarzenauer and then Starburst Magazine's very own literary editor, Ed Fortune? Or will you be saying, don't be silly, I've got to look after my Fiat Cinquecento? See, it's not going to work, is it?
It's not a good name for a car. Does the car have a name? I always think cars should have a name. Have you named the Cinquecento?
Very good,
no,
Katie.
We have not named the Cinquecento.
Maybe we should name the Cinquecento. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, sure. What name would you like me to call it?
Cindy.
I'll put it past the committee.
Cindy is Katie's
Cindy.
Suggestion.
Cindy
the Cinquecento. Quenchen? No, whatever. Cindy the Fiat.
Cindy. I don't think... I'd be surprised if my children or my wife gave Cindy the thumbs up. I mean, it's a nice name, but it doesn't look like a Cindy to me. It's a sort of... It's the wrong colour for Cindy. It's grey. Battleship grey.
Holly.
What about Chiquito?
Chiquito.
Chiquita. Oh, Chiquita, like the
Amazon. Chiquita.
Brian the
Cinquecento.
Well.
You said I would have gone for Adolf, but you know, I thought that was not, you know, grey.
No, we are not going down the route of Nazi dictators, no.
I just thought, you know, or maybe...
Reclaim the name.
What about Sun Yung? That's a good one. You know, that's a nice one. Donald is a nice one to sort of roll in there.
And also, as it's a soft top, it's...
See what we're doing in this one. Amazing. Actually, Katie, quick question for good self. Was it your fine self who actually put both of William Cole's latest novel, or two of his novels, back in my pigeonhole before you actually had the big migration from your old office space to your new office space?
I thought
it might have been, yes. And they're all safely tucked away. Did you ever get around to reading them?
I did. I thought Mr. Tubon was wonderful.
Most people do. I mean, I say my own personal favourite.
Sorry, I can't say Boris's. Can I say Boris's school days?
Dave Cameron's school
Dave
days.
Dave Cameron's, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, but, that was...
Boris gets elected Prime Minister, then we'll obviously give it a name change and bring it out as Boris's school days.
Always recycling, always repackaging. It's ecologically sound as well. But yes, as I say, Mr. Tubon, superb. Holly, let's see if you've still got that magic. Can you put those last two questions to William Coles at this moment in time?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have indeed. Thank you so much for asking.
That's all right. And will you be joining us next week?
Just as soon as Alex asked me, I'd love to.
And the big question is, would you prefer Badly Drawn Boy and Jules Holland with Come On Eileen or Dexy's Midnight Runners with Come On Aileen? Oh, sorry.
It's got to be Dexy.
You think you're going to go for... So Jules and Badly Drawn Boy have been actually thrust to one side and you've said... Or even...
Jimmy Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Exactly. was July 27th, 2017, when Lisa Maria Schwarzenau was last in the Midweek Drive studios, and we managed to squeeze in a live appearance for our postgraduate student just before she said, right, that's it, I'm off back to Innsbruck. Undaunted by that, we thought it was still important that we keep those Innsbruck connections going with Austria and so on. So, Lisa Maria Schwarzenau, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
Hi, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
We're okay, that's the important thing. I'm not sure whether you've ever actually encountered the two fine souls who are with us, although, Katie, you might have met Lisa Maria Schwarzenau.
I met Lisa on my course.
Yay,
we met.
Connection there.
Hello.
And the MA journalism thing continues to sort of roll out all manner of wonderful routines. Holly McGrattan, on the other hand, well, it's always a delight to meet Holly, and it's your chance now to actually say hello to one of media production's finest. And indeed, awesome cinematic director. Yes, Holly McGrattan.
Great.
Nice. Just back, as we said, from Peru and doing some wonderful stuff as well, which is all wonderful there. Okay, so, Lisa, how's life in Austria? Is it still thriving? I mean, in a matter of, about an hour from now, we'll be going to Switzerland to speak to...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to speak to Amber.
You're pretty international today.
I like to think so. Yeah. As well as our American connections in California with Randy Norton and Phil Dearness, we thought, and Edinburgh, of course. I mean, technically that's international. We'll need a passport to get there before too long. Over in Austria. So what's the happening scene? If we were to actually ask you in terms of adventures and music in Austria, what's currently floating the Schwarzenauer boat?
Hey, that's a good question. Music adventures in Austria. Yeah. Well, to be honest, I live in a part of Austria where there is hardly anything going on in terms of music, which is why I was so happy to be in England, where there was a lot more going on.
So would you agree then with Amber from Miracle 4, who said, Switzerland is so small and unscheinbar. Unscheinbar, the Swiss-German word for nondescript. Is Austria also unscheinbar?
I guess it depends on how you see it. I mean, it's a nice country, but if you want music adventures, you'd have to be in very specific parts of Austria. So most of it is quite rural, and there's not many bands coming there to play or whatever. So it is a bit unscheinbar if you're not in Vienna or the area, I'd say.
Austria did have a pretty impressive musical peak, though, didn't it?
Are you talking about Amadeus again?
I'm talking about the Amadeus.
So if you're in classical music, then Austria, I'd say one of the countries where you can experience that in the best way, because there's lots of operas and music theatres and whatever. So for that, there's definitely a lot going on, especially in Vienna. But for other things, I mean, we've got a few festivals, but festival season is already over because, well, the weather in Austria, it's not that nice too. So it's raining now, and September you can't really do anything outdoors anymore. So, yeah, there's more smaller clubs. A few of them, not too many.
Those of us of a certain vintage, of course, often tie in Austria with Amadeus, Rock Me Amadeus, and particularly Falco, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I'll bowl this out. Holly, have you ever encountered Falco and Rock Me Amadeus?
I have not.
No.
I'm sorry.
I can see an educational moment coming across here. Katie Dorr, Rock Me Amadeus with Falco?
No.
Really?
Really, no.
Well,
I think that was the only Austrian number one in the Billboard chart.
Exactly. The only Austrian number one ever in the American Billboard charts. Yeah. And I think it falls to your good self, Lisa Maria Schwarzenauer, to obviously stay with us through this experience of 3 minutes 20 seconds. But I'd like you, in Austrian, please, to introduce Rock Me Amadeus by Falco. Over to you, Lisa.
In Austrian, okay. Hallo meine Freunde in Lincoln, Sie hören jetzt Rock Me Amadeus von Falco.
You know, everything was perfect there, apart from the fact we have a slight sort of hiccup here. Would you like to just take that? We'll say that was a wonderful first take. Go again. Take number two, please.
Okay. Hallo meine Freunde in Lincoln, Sie hören jetzt das österreichische Meisterwerk Rock Me Amadeus von Falco. Ein Punker unterrichtet in der großen Stadt. Es war in Wien, war Vienna, wo er alles tat.
Diese harte Schulden deiner Tarn, doch ihn liebten alle Frauen. Und jede rief, na komm, rock me Amadeus. Er war Superstar, er war populär, er war so exaltiert, because er hatte Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rock-Idol. Und alles rief, na komm, rock me Amadeus. Du bist und es war irgendwie nur Plastic Money in den Modebanken gegen ihn. Woher die Schulden kamen, war wohl jedermann bekannt. Er war ein Mann der Frauen, Frauen liebten seinen Punk. Er war ein Superstar, er war so populär, er war zu exaltiert, genau das war sein Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rocky-Doll und alle suchten noch auf den Captain Rock me up, my biggest fan.
Outstanding. Ausgezeichnet. Ausgezeichnet, one might well say. Clearly a theme that could be used for graduation ceremonies across the land to generate so much wonderfulness. That's crazy. Holly, there we are. You not only had the music, the audio accompaniment, you also had the video accompaniment as well. Yeah. Exactly.
I might request that as the graduation, maybe like, you know, as I collect my scroll.
It would certainly create an impression, I think. Yeah. Which
I'll dress up. Maybe I'll dress up instead of going traditional.
You should go for the hair.
Yeah, I'll do
the
that.
The hairstyles in the video are amazing.
Yeah,
it looks brilliant.
And you see, the bottom line is, Lisa, once you've actually had Rock Me Amadeus, there's no need to have any other music that's put together. I mean, you know, you've got Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart back in the 1700s. You've got Falco in the sort of 20th century. Next one, probably 22nd century. Really. So it goes. Anyway, I actually hold back until I felt was it perfectly there. But every time Lisa Maria Schwarz and I was in the contemporary film journalism class, I always felt that should have been an entrance theme. You know, every time you'd have had an entrance theme for every student. So walk through the door, boom, here we go. Still,
that would have been nice.
Yeah. Well, who knows what could actually happen in future scenarios? Maybe
the things will do for student satisfaction.
Exactly.
Bad idea.
Yeah,
right.
Precisely. Katie, any questions for Lisa Maria about, well, anything really, anything from her portfolio and onwards, really?
How's life treating you now you've graduated from the MA?
No, still got an assignment and a dissertation to be worked through.
How's that going?
I'm quite happy with it so far. So I still have to put final touches to it and finish a few things off. But actually, I'm quite happy how it went so far. So yeah, it's looking good, I think. I hope I can graduate in January. So
I'm sure it'll be splendid. Ever superstar, ever popular, ever so exalted because hat a fla. Sorry, I'm doing the lyrics now. You know, it's just... Something sort of eased back. You know, forget Phil Dennis's obsession with Twin Peaks. I think ultimately it's Falco and Rock Me Amadeus that, you know, the whole secret of life is revealed. Anyway, Holly, thoughts from yourself? Have you been to Austria?
No, yes. Yeah, sorry. Yes, actually.
It's very nondescript, so it's easy to forget. Sorry.
I went on a school skiing trip, which was fine. Everyone got food poisoning, but yeah.
Really?
Good. Yeah. There was one drink.
Schnapps?
No, it is fizzy apple or something. What's that called?
Sour apple?
Sorry, so
sour apple?
No. Oh.
What is it?
It's like, it is non-alcoholic. It's like a fizzy apple juice. Fizzy apple drink.
Non-alcoholic. Okay, then it's probably just fizzy apple juice. You get that everywhere when you're skiing. That's one of the most popular.
And is it designed to make tourists sick, perhaps?
No, it just... Well, yeah, maybe. We might jump too much. But it had a good, memorable name. Well, not that memorable. But
fizzy apple juice.
It was fun to say. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up.
Okay.
We'll get back to you.
We'll leave that as a narrative trope that's just hanging out there. For that. Are we, what, 2 months away from the skiing season opening in Austria? I mean, or are we sort of talking, here we are, September, so is it November, December time? Or do you sort of think, no?
It depends. It really depends. So usually they start in November if there's enough snow, but we've had 1 year where they only started in December because there was not enough snow. Mm-hmm. But, of course, if you're up in the glaciers, you can ski the whole year, basically, so... If you're willing to travel a bit, then you can find places to ski in Austria all year round.
And that's ultimately the whole routine. You might have a football called Hans Krankel to your hand, but ultimately, obviously that's an amusing name, Hans Krankel, for some reason.
It's a good name.
It is, yeah. Before your time, actually, Lisa Maria, the joys of Hans Krankel, I wouldn't expect you to go there. Any other things, Katie, you'd like to sort of bring on board in terms of, you know, considering Paris, why not Austria, why not Innsbruck?
Well, no, Austria, what's Innsbruck like? Is it?
It's quite a little town, actually. It's the capital of that part of Austria where I live, but it's quite small for capital, but really cute because it's got a really nice old town where there's lots of medieval buildings, and it's all still the way it was in the Middle Ages. And when you're in there and it's a nice day, they've got the blue skies and you've got the mountains in the background and all these medieval buildings. It's a really nice place, and if you like sports, it's probably the best place to be because you're close to the mountains, you can go hiking, skiing, you can go swimming. It's all just basically 5 to 10 minutes away. So it's a really outdoorsy city. Quite nice and friendly people, actually. And loads of people from Italy also.
Can clumsy people ski?
Yes, they can. I can vouch for that because I'm probably the most clumsy person you will ever find. And I can ski, so...
Well, that sounds like a challenge to me, Katie.
There's hope for me, yet.
Exactly.
Just pay attention to the instructor and don't try to ski on your own the first time, then you'll be fine.
It's often a male thing, I find. It's usually the blokes who effectively sort of say, it's all right, sorted. You know, I've seen James Bond, I've seen it lots of times, I can do this, and then they end up with a broken leg.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just need to, less is more, ease back on the whole thing. Did you manage to do any skiing whilst you were there, Holly, or was it more a case of, no, I was just tasting the fizzy apple drink, which I can't remember?
No, we did go skiing. My friend had about 5 minutes of skiing before she had an accident and had to be airlifted to hospital. But, I mean, it's a good story.
Absolutely. And a helicopter ride.
Almost as she did it deliberately.
Life-changing, isn't it?
Precisely.
Yeah, that's fine.
Katie, it's time for Lisa Maria to have those last two interrogatives, or Fragen, perhaps. Off you go.
Have you had an enjoyable telephonic link with us today?
Yeah, it was great to hear you. Great hearing you and being back, sort of, in the studio. So.
Well, as we said, midweek drivers might leave the country. That doesn't necessarily mean that they've actually lost the actual connection with the midweek drivette world.
Yeah. Will you be joining us again soon?
I'd love to, definitely.
Yay!
Yes. Okay, well, what I always like to do when I'm reading my copy of Starburst is turn immediately to the Ed Fortune pages, because I know you're going to get good sense put together, and you might even get some William Shatner news. Not only will you get Zero G, Green Space, authored by William Shatner and Jeff Rovin, with the intriguing line, Green Space centres around a NASA agricultural project that uses nanites to design a vine that survives in space. Expect old-fashioned sci-fi nonsense, lots of cliches, uncomfortable mental images of an aging Shatner in a tight spacesuit, and plenty of action. You also get the notion, as revealed in Brave New Words, of how William Shatner, yes, the great William Shatner himself, has been feuding with Star Wars authors. Feuding with Star Wars authors. Now, to address these key, exceptional points, we're delighted to welcome back the literary editor of aforementioned Starburst magazine. And, of course, Katie, it is the first ever magazine you asked your newsagent to put to one side for you.
It is indeed.
Ed, welcome back to the programme.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Yay! Now, I mean, I was so tempted to go down the line of Captain Scarlet manuals, 40 years of Captain Scarlet, of course, which is there, and the Haynes-produced manuals there. The Thor Deluxe book and model set is about to be released on October the 3rd. Curiously, not too far away from Ragnarok.
Looking forward to Ragnarok. Well, very excited about Ragnarok.
But ultimately, it was the October the 5th publication of Simon Schuster's Zero G Green Space that kind of led me to the William Shatner setup. But first of all, Ed, share with us this thing about Captain James T. Kirk, T.J. Hooker, and Danny from Boston Legal actually engaging with this whole notion, feuding with Star Wars authors. What's it all about? Why can't we just get along?
It's, to be honest, a big pile of twisted nonsense. let's be honest. Shatner in the past has liked to get a rise out of Star Wars fans. It's a thing that he does. And you could imply a political angle to it. Shatner is, though he's never admitted to being on either side of the political fence, is fairly firmly to the right side of things, let's be honest. And the current crop of Star Wars books are do their best to be progressive.
Mm.
So, which is interesting from the fact that it's Star Trek, which is famously progressive.
Yes.
But you could pretend that that's what's going on, but really what's going on is people are looking for an excuse to have a bit of an argument. And it's, I hesitate to say it's lighthearted fun, because it's not really, but it's nothing really serious. It's not going to keep anyone up at night. It's, you know, it's not going to affect anyone's sales or any of that stuff. It's just an excuse for both William Shatner and the likes of Chuck Wendig to be a bit stumpy at each other on the internet.
As you say, it all kicked off when the former Captain Kirk, he's more than the former Captain Kirk,
he is Captain Kirk.
You know, sorry, Chris Pine, but, you know, there's only one Captain Kirk. And he tweeted on the subject of social justice when Star Wars writer Chuck Wendig pointed out Star Trek's worthy heritage in all things related to social progress. The two sparred. Not in a Jell-O wrestling match, surely. No.
Did anyone's shirt get ripped in a dry and dusty place? Because I think that's mandatory for William Shatner.
Yeah, yeah. And preferably in Vasquez Rocks.
Absolutely.
Twitter is more fun if you read it whilst humming the arena music. That's exactly how that works.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you did there. Very good. And indeed, as you conclude, it isn't the first time the 86-year-old actor has trolled Star Wars-related things, and we doubt it'll be the last.
He's rather irascible on Twitter, really, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't exactly back down from a bit of a scrap.
When his shirt gets ripped, obviously.
Absolutely.
Classic line. Holly, does this impact at all, or are you still fretting that Colin Trefaro has actually left the third Star Wars package and he's been replaced by J.J. Abrams, who decided to actually take over the mantle once again as director?
Yes.
There we have it, you see, the words of a filmmaker extraordinaire, Holly McGrattan, and yes, I shall circulate your videos again to Ed Fortune. It's all right, Ed, they're nothing dodgy, don't worry about it. These were made in Peru. Actually, that's even worse.
They were sent
even starker's Peru, and we're just generating that audience.
Paddington Bear was made in Peru, apparently.
Exactly. You connected on that basis, which is true. Now, front cover of the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment, Starburst, of course, Blade Runner 2049, and obviously 1977, 2017, Starburst, 40 years, the recent edition, there we are. Katie, what are the highlights? I mean, there's so many. Once again, a genuine panopticon of delights that we've actually got in her routine. But I haven't actually, Ed, as yet, heard your own view on the casting of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor.
A short version, I think it's marvellous. I do have sympathy for people who were taken aback by it. Because, like, a decade ago, that was me. If you see what I mean, kind of never thought about it until a friend of mine suggested it. And then my instant response was to go, but I want them to cast Toby Jones. I want them to do this. And then I grew up, if you see what I mean. And I think people are allowed to be a little bit... With Doctor Who casting, you are entirely allowed to go, but I wanted this for the first 5 minutes. And then you get on board because you're a fan and you're waiting for more stuff to come along. It's a great casting. She's a great actor. It's going to be interesting to see what Chibnall does. The show has been rebooted. Doctor Who fans are always a little crazy because their show gets cancelled every 4 years and then comes straight back. And then
and Bradley Walsh as well. Not Wiggins, Bradley Walsh.
Has that been confirmed?
Ed will know. Has Bradley Walsh been confirmed, or is it a case of no mistake? Sorry, it was Bradley Wiggins we wanted. A cycling companion.
At the moment, no one knows, and it's too close to call. I would remind you, however, that we were saying this a bunch of years ago about Billy Piper and Catherine Tate. I mean, when Catherine Tate was announced, my response, I'd already seen her in Shakespeare, so I was like, she can act, it's fine. I was looking forward to it, but I was pretty much alone on that, I have to admit. So I was optimistic about it. So who can say? He might be, you know, he might be amazing. And again, it also might just be it might be a bit part. It's not as if with Doctor Who casting, they don't, you know, force stuff into the room to generate interest. They've always done that. And a few years ago with Army of Ghosts, the Doctor Who episode, Derek Acora, of all people, popped up and went, I'm in Doctor Who, I'm going to be a companion. And everyone was outraged for about 5 minutes when they realised it was Derek Acora.
It's a strange chap, Derek. I've interviewed him a couple of times and never quite been sure where to place him or in which dimension. Still, never mind. He sees dead people.
He was in it for 12 seconds. Yeah. But, you know... So
it's enough for his CV. I mean, it'll help on the tours of the local sort of former scenarios. Very good. You know, it's all right, Derek. If you're listening, that's fine. Holly, does this impact on your life at all, or is it a case of I've already submitted my film last year for the 48-hour film challenge, and I'm psyching myself up now for the 2018 Sci-Fi London 48-hour film challenge?
Changed it, yes. I'm now living with a Doctor Who sci-fi fanatic.
Right,
I can definitely bounce some ideas off him. I will get him involved.
So from that point of view, what's his view of the female Doctor? I mean, is it you know, has he gone borderline sociopath? Has he reached for the baseball bat? Is it a case of never again? No.
Well, he's a fan of her in other works, and I think he's for it, I think. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I mean, don't want to speak on his behalf.
Of course not.
I think he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
He better be.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah. Katie, any article that's caught your attention? Is it the Stephen King celebration, which curiously actually preempts the Stone Tapes latest episode with Sam Stone, David J. Howe, and other fine folk, which we'll be putting into the proverbial ether this evening, but it'll be released a week tomorrow. What were we to combine? You know, you can have Midweek Drive, you can have the Stone Tapes, you can listen to Brave New Words, you can listen to the Starburst Fab International podcast. You can actually give your mind some real nutritional value there.
It needs it.
See the way I got that plug in for your good self, Ed. I mean, it's a shame.
Thank you very much. Brave New Words is back soon, by the way.
Very good. Katie, anything that's floated your boat about the latest edition?
I haven't got to the Stephen King article yet, but Star Trek Discovery. I saw the trailer for the first time last week. My dad showed me the trailer and I thought it looked amazing, actually.
So you have Netflix then?
My dad does. Oh. So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of that.
Even though already there's been a kind of backing off by the actual makers saying, it's okay, Nicholas Meyer will be doing a sequel, it's going to be a different line. So lots of strange sounding lines in terms of that, including Spock's stepsister.
Oh.
Yeah, is it playing with canon? Is it a different line, etc.? It's the sort of thing William Shatner will be tweeting about. Once again, Ed, we ask for your input in terms of the Star Trek Discovery scenario. Is it a case of, don't worry, it'll be all right? Or is it just a shameless exercise in CBS trying to make as much money as possible with respect to Netflix and the fans?
It does look like a bit of a mess, doesn't it? Which is interesting. Various directors walking out. When Bryan Singer walks out of his dream job, you have to be slightly concerned.
And it's fair to say that clearly the notion of, as a chap who went on to do American Gods and was very much part of that whole, so I forgot his name, Bryan Singer, you're quite right. It wasn't Bryan Singer. Bryan Fuller, yes. Bryan Singer's an X-Man, you know, it's a different franchise entirely. You know, he's Usual Suspects and he's X-Men, you know, Bryan Fuller on the other hand.
Brian's computer. I almost mentioned Life of Brian. But yeah, sorry, Bryan Fuller.
He's
actually next, so that's even worse.
Well, anyway. Breathe. It's all right, Brian. You know, Ed hasn't forgotten you. You're very much at the heart of his concern. You're on his Christmas card list and everything. But yeah, you're quite right. I mean, I think a lot of fans certainly were very keen when Bryan Fuller was signed up as the showrunner of the whole thing, and then he pretty much sort of vacated. I don't know. I mean, we've spoken to Larry Nemechek extensively about this. Obviously, we're days away from it being released now. I think it'll be okay. I do wish they hadn't had the J.J. Abrams style lens flare once again in terms of, I just think, oh, it's supposed to be a prequel. It should be set in the days of the cage and so on. It's revisionist history and so on. I appreciate it, Holly. We might be completely taking a different line here, but have you ever seen any Star Trek episodes, Holly?
I haven't. Sure, I will.
Holly.
On Netflix, there are, I think, there was about 170 odd people who had actually watched all 790 odd episodes recently. They actually sort of work as a binge watch over, a 10 day period.
Wow. That's commitment. So, that's pretty impressive.
Did they sleep?
I think they might have had power naps, perhaps. Power
naps. Yeah.
Sorry, Ed, we're just saying, overall, from your own perspective, is it a case of wait and see, or can we expect to see Jordan Royce write another scathing comment in his editorial, and sometimes the ferocity at which Jordan can actually sort of, you know, take the, who knows what could happen, really?
I don't think Jordan's going to be happy regardless. I get the feeling from the changes they've made, especially because he likes continuity and he likes things to work and to be seamless. Yeah. But what they've done is an awful lot of unnecessary tweaking. And the unnecessary tweaking does feel like too many cooks. It does feel like what's happened is that everyone's been so concentrating on making the show work that everyone's wanted to put in there, and it's all gone a bit wrong, and they've all made... And this is why one of the reasons apparently why Fuller left is too many cooks, essentially, have made it. Maybe, but we're judging it before seeing it. We should see it. They might have, you know, somehow dragged gold out of this. I'm more fascinated with what's going on with the Orville, which is the Seth MacFarlane Star Trek-esque comedy on Fox at the moment. I saw the first episode, and yeah, it was all right. It was like, it looked like someone had pitched a Galaxy Quest comedy TV show meets Family Guy. It was okay, and it's interesting that kind of space utopia, pseudo military dictatorship Star Trek thing, it has become kind of the default sci-fi image, and that's one of the things that new Star Trek is fighting against, is that everyone knows what Star Trek looks like, and sometimes that's really useful, but sometimes it's also just a case of, well, if it's more of the same, then you're going to have to make something new and make something different, surely. And this is where they start tweaking with the formula, and if they get it right, everyone's very happy, and you get, you know, you get really good Star Trek movies. If you get the formula wrong, then no one's happy at all, and the fans are outraged, and the actors are outraged, and, you know, sci-fi doesn't make any money, and we're back at square one again.
And I believe even the toys haven't been franchised as yet. And if you haven't actually got your Toys merchandise sorted out, in fact, people are going back to classic Trek as opposed to others, we'll wait and see. The cast is good, though, on the other hand. You know, so we've got, you know, people from The Walking Dead and a whole heap of other fine folk around. So, you know, life's... We'll give it a chance. We'll wait and see what William Shatner actually has to say about the life and times and so on and so forth. What was your favourite article in this month's magazine, Ed Fortune?
Ooh, that's a stinker of a question.
Yeah, well, I think we've known each other for a good few years now, since the London World Science Fiction Convention, so I think you can cope with this now. You know, it was destined to come out.
Oh, goodness me. That's profoundly unfair, especially as I'm right in the middle of
You can plead the Fifth Amendment, if you will, basically.
I can get which articles are in which places. Kieran is always brilliant. Martin's always good. Camera Obscura, I believe, is good this issue. The various columns are fantastic. I always want to plug my own stuff. I really had a lot of fun to talk about In the Loop, which on Roll for Damage, which is the Stranger Things role-playing game. Mm. And, you know, any role-playing game where you have stats such as detention has got to be fun. It's a good issue, I felt, in general. And I did actually like the Blade Runner article, so it's
very good. And you got the Blade Runner stuff as well, so it's just a win-win situation, which is splendid.
I've written extensively about Philip K. Dick before as well, and I'll resist making any appropriate pun. But that's a topic I could wax lyrical on for hours, but let's not do that right now.
Let's throw in a pop quiz question, which I often use with my science fiction students. Put it to the folk in the studio before your good self, Ed. In Philip K. Dick, what does the K actually stand for?
Do you know? I don't know. Oh, hang on, I do. No, it's a really odd name, and I can't remember.
Is it K as in Katie? Nope. Is it K as in the same K and the same line as in Ursula K. Le Guin? Yes, it is. And it stands for kindred.
I knew it was something unusual. I did not actually click it's the same as Ursula Le Guin.
Well, they actually went to the same college together back in the States. Yes, exactly. That's the sort of the uniqueness of the whole sort of sequence. You've got the teller of tales of Earthsea versus the person who finally is going to get a Channel 4 series dedicated to his Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. I love the Philip Oakey movie. Sorry, it's a different line entirely. This is dedicated to the one. And great stuff indeed. How can people get hold of Starburst magazine if they're not going to newsagents and various other bits of news? What's the best way? What's the online website to go to subscribe and such like, please, Ed Fortune?
So it's starburstmagazine.com. Mm-hmm. You can go on there and you can go into subscriptions. It's on the top of the page. And you can log on for subscriptions. You can also find us online. We have... there's a thing called Magster that you can subscribe to. So if you like to read things on your tablet, you can subscribe and get a PDF via Magster as well. And also on the website is, there should be very soon, an announcement about the Starburst Media City Festival.
A grand scenario which we had hoped would be connecting us in September. Katie had even sort of cancelled a trip to Paris on the basis of the whole thing. It's okay, Katie. It's going to happen again. You will have the chance once more to meet in person Ed Fortune at a grand event that will be taking place in March next year, which we're very excited about.
It's a good month.
You might even be able to meet Phil Leonis as well. He might be coming over from the States and a whole variety of other bits and pieces. However, Holly, bearing in mind that you might be having all sorts of Doctor Who fans sort of saying, is she going to get these right for the last two questions? Would you like to put those last two questions to Ed Fortune, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Of course.
And will you be returning soon?
If you'll have me.
I'm sure we will.
A round of applause for Ed Fortune, please. Yay! Splendid. And from the point of view of Sonny and Cher...
goes on, the beat goes on, drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain, la-da-da-da-dee, la-da-da-da-da, Charleston was once the rage, uh-huh.